Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us today for the first time, please take a moment to fill out the tab that's on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you for worshiping with us today. Please refer to your bulletin for activities scheduled for this afternoon and refer to the insert in your bulletin for activities scheduled for this week and next Sunday. Information on our radio and internet broadcasts can be found in the bulletin insert as well. There will be a quarterly business congregational meeting following this morning's worship service, and we encourage everyone to attend. After the business meeting, there will be a short practice session for the choir, so please, choir, don't leave during the business meeting. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 22, verses 22, 23, and 25. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All ye seed, the seed of Israel. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning. And please let us begin our worship with hymn 450, Isn't the Love of Jesus Something Wonderful? We will sing now the first and last stanza of hymn number 201, He is Able to Deliver Thee.
Thank you.
Please stand as we sing hymn 241, Have You Any Room for Jesus?
Prayer this morning together as a congregation. Our Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence in the precious name of our intercessor, our high priest, the Lord Jesus. And then, Father, we bring first words of thanksgiving that we can congregate together as a body of Christ, as a church, under the foundation of that beautiful people of Israel who brought us into the truth and brought the Messiah to this world. Thank you, Father. And then, Lord, how precious it is to know that as we broadcast the service, our intention is not to bring a show into the air, but to bring the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether by the reading of thy word, by the praises that our choir will bring to you, Father, or by the exposition of thy word. We don't want to impress anybody. We want to share the truth of the living word, which will heal our life and renew our mind and produce a life of security and health. Lord, from time to time, we are in trials. And as we look around us, trials is everywhere. As we read the papers and listen to the news or watch the news on the television, we see that this world has no clue of God whatsoever. But we do. And because we do, we love them and we share the gospel that as many people as you have ordained may come and receive Jesus as the greatest gift of their life. Lord, we do so through the CD ministry, tape ministry, radio ministry, internet ministry, and through personal evangelism. And then, Father, through our missionaries. And we are proud to have Fred and Carol Lewis in Siberia, Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville, Spain, Eusebio and Marisa Perez in Benal Madena, Spain, David and Denise Rode in Papua New Guinea, Giovanni and Barbara Avildaño in Guatemala, the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, a place of refuge in Gilroy, the Children Athletic Association, reaching the young people in San Jose, Daniel and Miriam Lacey, Daniel is in Wisconsin today, and we pray for the wisdom of God in his mind and the words of God in his lips as he share his ministry with the people. And Lord, we pray for Martha Peretti and the Rehabilitation Center in Argentina, and we are so glad that Martha is with us today. We thank you, Lord, that we can expand ourselves, move on ourselves in many directions, because you brought to us people who are serious about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that during the service today, we may learn again from the scripture how to approach a living God, a holy God, a God who is in business of holiness. How can we approach him? What will be the way to reach God so that I can benefit? Lord, thank you for these two women in the Bible, Naomi and Ruth. They are just top of the line. Lord, thank you for them. Thank you for the little book who taught us how to walk with you. And now bless us as we take the offering, Father. We have a congregation that support the ministry. I never had to call anybody. I never had to press anybody. I never had to worry about it. Because you, God, are the one who produced the desire in the congregation to keep on going with the church. Lord, I thank you for the deacons and for those who do the administration, who carefully do the administration of the money so that we have all the bills paid and everything functioning right. Thank you, Lord, for the offering. Thank you for the giver. In Jesus' precious Lord, we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, choir. Please take your Bibles now and turn to the Book of Ruth. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 176. We will be reading Ruth chapter 3, verses 1 through 18. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Ruth chapter 3, verses 1 to 18. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and that shalt go in and uncover his feet, and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do." And she said unto her, "All that thou sayest unto me, I will do." And she went down unto the floor, and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly, and uncovered his feet, and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself. And behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, "Who art thou?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." And he said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followedest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all thou requirest, for all of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. Lie down until the morning." And she lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another. And he said, "Let it not be known that a woman came into the floor." Also he said, "Bring the veil that thou hast upon thee, and hold it." And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley, and laid it on her, and she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Who art thou, my daughter?" And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, "These 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, 'Go not empty unto thy mother-in-law.'" Then said she, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in the rest until he have finished the thing this day." Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray together. Lord, we thank thee for both the reading and the hearing of this, your holy word. We pray that the words that the pastor will bring to apprise us of the meanings of the passage will bless us this day. Bless our brother Joe Plicka, who's away today, and all the members who have not been able to attend here today. Thank you for what you are going to do in this service today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, my brother. And before I open the scripture for you and this remarkable passage, I would like to invite Martha to say greetings to you, one of our missionaries. And so Martha Peretti, Señora Peretti, puede venir. I will translate for you, all right? A few words. Okay.
Buenos días a todos.
Good morning to all of you. Just speak up, right there.
No se asusten que tengo un montón de papeles, pero no es para leérselos ahora.
He said, don't be afraid, these papers are not to read for you.
Es un gusto para mí estar aquí entre ustedes.
A real pleasure to be with you.
Estoy muy agradecida porque este es un viaje que Dios me regaló.
He said, I'm so grateful. God gave me the gift of this trip.
Así que es maravilloso, aunque no entiendo la lengua, pero es hermoso poder compartir esta reunión de alabanza en un mismo corazón, todos alabando a nuestro Señor.
Even though I do not know the language, I'm so glad to be part of the congregation and the praise service because we do it with one heart.
Quiero primeramente agradecerles a ustedes las ofrendas de amor que me hacen llegar.
I want to thank you because for, every month you people give me an offering of love for my ministry.
Y creo que ya por el pastor están enterados de cómo va la obra allí.
I think the pastor has told you after his trip how is the development of the work there.
Hace 7 años ya que estoy trabajando con este centro de recuperación del droga dependiente.
About 7 years ago, I started the ministry on the rehabilitation center for drug addicts in Argentina.
Y es hermoso cuando llegan fechas especiales.
It is very, very pleasant to see that when an special date comes about.
Como cuando se reciben algunos que terminan el tratamiento.
When there are some people who complete the treatment.
Nos visitan los primeros alumnos que tuvimos.
They come and visit us.
Y vienen ya casados, con hijos.
Married, with children.
Y con trabajo y recuperados.
And with work and all rehabilitated.
Lógico que no son todos.
I want you to know that not everyone in the group comes in this way.
Pero es lindo poder ver los que se recuperan.
But it's good to see that some people recover.
Y julio pasado, el 20, que celebrábamos el Día del Amigo.
Last July 20 was the day of your friend in Argentina.
Yo voy con mi amiga María y hermana en Cristo a trabajar las dos.
I go to the place with Maria, my helper, that helped me constantly.
Y ellos nos esperaban de sorpresa.
¿Ellos te esperaban a vos?
Ellos nos esperaban porque íbamos a festejar el Día del Amigo.
All right, I got the word nos before. They were surprised by their visit.
Sabían que ese día no íbamos a trabajar, íbamos a festejar.
They knew that that day they don't want to work, they're going to celebrate.
Y entonces íbamos a hacer juegos, llevábamos comida, a tener un día especial.
We want to have a special day over there.
Nos esperaron con todas estas cartas.
They wait us with
sorpresa.
All these letters as a surprise, Martha and Maria.
¿Puedo compartir una? Aunque sea?
One little.
Marta y María, queridas señoras de artesanía.
Ladies of teachers on artwork.
Espero que al recibir esta carta,
I hope that as you receive this letter,
se encuentren bien igual que yo.
You feel good, like I'm feeling good now.
Les quería agradecer por todo lo que hacen por nosotros.
I want to thank you on my behalf and behalf of the others for what you do for us.
Ya que es mucho el sacrificio que hacen al venir hasta acá.
You people do a lot of sacrifice to come to this place.
Gracias por enseñarnos tantas cosas lindas.
Thank you for teaching us so many good things.
En especial enseñarnos sobre Jesús.
But above all, to teach us about Jesus.
Y su palabra.
And his word.
Contándonos cosas que a ustedes le pasaron.
You people tell us things that happened to you.
Como cuando no tenía que darle de comer a su familia y le aparecieron milanesas sobre la mesa.
Like when you don't have food and And then came some meat on your table.
Leyéndonos la palabra y diciéndonos tantas cosas lindas.
They said, that's what you did for us. You brought food to our table, reading the word of God.
Feliz día del amigo Gastón Santoro.
They said, the name of the person is Gaston, and said, have a great day on a friendship day.
Ese día yo les había compartido
que, that day I shared with them,
que cuando mis niños eran chiquitos y yo ya trabajaba entre los niños de mi barrio,
that when her children were little and she already had like a Bible school and home and her home,
les había prometido a los niños que si no faltaban durante 8 clases seguidas les daba un regalo.
She promised the children that if they attend 8 weeks, then they will receive a present.
Y había problemas en el hogar que no había dinero. Y solamente tenía dinero para comprar los regalos o darles de comer a mis hijos.
I have problems, financial problems in Argentina, and only have money. Either I buy food for the family or I buy the presents.
Entonces le dije al Señor, yo compro los regalos para los niños y tú te encargas de la comida de mis hijos.
And I pray and I say, Lord, I buy the presents as I promised, and you bring the food.
La escuelita dominical la hacía a la vuelta en casa de mi mamá.
I did the Bible study about one block from my house in my mother's home.
Cuando regresé al mediodía a mi casa,
when I returned,
me encontré arriba de la mesa un plato así lleno de milanesas hechas, terminadas.
When I returned, I have over my table dish that Victor knows, milanesas, you know, that little thing. Victor loved it. All finished and done.
Esto era el día sábado.
That was on Saturday.
Hasta el día miércoles no supe quién me había traído las milanesas.
Until Wednesday, I don't know who brought that.
Entonces fui a hacer un mandado, una compra, y me encuentro con una señora y me dice, ¿estaban ricas las milanesas?
I went for an errand. And in the store, one lady asked me, I met the lady, and she said, do you like the milanesas?
Digo, no me diga que fue usted. Dice, sí, mi esposo, dice, le dieron tanta carne en el trabajo que las trajo y se las milanesas. Y dije, ¿a quién se las voy a dar? Voy a llevársela a Marta. Y fue a mi casa, como no estaba la puerta con llave, entró, me dejó las milanesas y se fue. Tuve comida para 4 días.
The lady said, my husband received a lot of meat and work. And so I cooked this, what are I going to give it? So I give it to Marta. My home never was locked, so I was not home, but people come in, open the door, put things in and out, and so it's fantastic.
Esos son las maravillas que hace el Señor. 4 días comiendo, y yo no tenía comida para un día, así que el Señor me dio multiplicado.
This is the marvelous thing God does. They provide for me for 4 days, and I don't have one day.
Cada una de estas cartas tiene un agradecimiento especial. Este chico le impactó esa experiencia, que yo se las cuento para que vean la fidelidad de Dios.
Well, each letter has a meaning. But I share that to see how God is so faithful.
Dos renglones más de otro chico.
Only two. All right. two lines.
Me hace muy bien las cosas que hago con usted y me pone muy contento trabajar.
Dice, I'm so glad when you come. I feel good to do the work with you.
Y lo hacen con amor y dejas muchas cosas lindas de lado.
The reason is you do the work with love.
Y personales que tienen que hacer para venir hasta acá.
And you leave your personal things and then you drive all the way to here.
Y darnos una enseñanza y mostrarnos que con nuestras manos podemos hacer muchas cosas lindas.
You teach us, and then you show us that with our hands we can do a lot of good things.
Que jamás intentamos hacer.
That we never dreamed we can do.
Y hoy por hoy, mis manos ya no hacen maldades ni dañan a nadie.
Now my hands that don't do any evil and don't hurt anybody.
Sino que aprenden a trabajar por algo que jamás imaginé.
My hands have learned to work.
Hacer en mi vida.
And I do things that I never imagined I will do in my life.
Espero que siempre me tengan en cuenta.
Please pray for me.
Las amo, Christian.
Isn't that fantastic? All right.
Estas son inyecciones.
She said this is like a shot, an injection in your life.
De aliento que nos ayudan a continuar la tarea.
That's why she is so happy for when this happened.
Y muchas gracias a ustedes.
Thank you to all of you. Here's your Bible. One of the blessings in our church to have missionaries is that we tested the missionaries. We go to the mission field and we go to the places and we look on it. I'm going to take the pulpit out. And we do all of this because if we're going to spend money on somebody, we don't mind, but the job has to be done. And the best way is for the pastor or somebody to go and look on it. And when I was over there, each time I see the pictures in my computer, I can't believe those guys. Really fantastic. Well, now turn your Bible to the book of Ruth again, please, on page 176. If you are using the Bible there in the pew, and we have a new chapter for us, chapter 3. I'm going to recall your memory and bring to your memory the attentions of the chapter, of the book entirely. In chapter 1, we have two sections, verses 1 to 5, describe for us that Naomi have fallen into six crises. Remember, really tough crises. And who doesn't fall into a crisis, don't we? And it's just dramatic, all right? And she found herself in a foreign land with no husband, no children, and two daughters-in-law. Chapter 1 also, verses 6 to 22, describe Naomi's experience as she witnessed with her own eyes and her with her own ears the irrevocable commitment of Ruth. Next time I marry somebody, I want to use that word, irrevocable commitment. That's scary, no? When you said to somebody, I'm going to perform the ceremony, but you say, I love you with an irrevocable commitment. Wow. That's what Ruth did to Naomi, remember? Then chapter 2 comes about and teaches us that as we seek God's guidance and will for our life, we must keep moving forward, taking the necessary steps in order to cope with life. If you stay in one place, you're only going to cry. So in other words, Naomi and Ruth didn't go to Cana. They came back to Cana, remember? And didn't go to Cana expecting a mansion prepared for them. They didn't sit around in despair without hope. Nor did they beg for food. Listen to that one. Nor did they beg for food. Rather, they took the necessary steps to begin their life anew in Cana, trusting God's guidance. Now we go to chapter 3 today. And in chapter 3, Naomi's understanding of God's love, mercy, and redemption are so beautiful, evident, as you have heard the chapter read by our brother Kasangin. We can see that the trials of Naomi's life brought her to a closer relationship with God and a deeper love for God, which is clearly witnessed in her great love and concern for Ruth. Because of God's great love for Naomi, she is able to love and express her great love for Ruth. Chapter 3 shows us our need for a redeemer and a protector. We see Naomi's great love for Ruth and her desire to guide her and to lead Ruth to her redeemer, protector, and husband. Now Naomi encouraged Ruth to seek a husband, which in the Hebrew economy means a protector. Somebody will secure your life. Now remember that. In order to do so, there are seven steps. So if the producer is listening in KKMC, I'm going to go overboard 10 minutes. There are seven steps. I want you to listen to this. There are seven steps in order to seek help from God. That's the picture. If you really need to approach God, There are seven steps revealed by the life of this tremendous woman by the name Ruth. So I don't want to mention them. I just want to mention one by one and repeat it so that you grab in your life. All right? You got your Bible in Ruth chapter 3. Step number one, you need to see the need for redemption yourself. You need to see that you need help. Let's go to verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" Now, for us in America, rest is go and take a siesta or something. But thank God for original words. You need to see the need for help in your life. If you're going to go to God for help, first, you need to see that you need it. The word rest is a word that means a resting place, a place of settled and security, a permanent home, a place of stability, a place of provision. In another part of the Bible, that word rest is translated a husband. There is no greater joy of a woman than she knows that she's secure and taken care of by a husband. I don't mean a dominating, crazy guy. I mean a guy that when you have a need, he's there for you. That's Hebrew style of husband. That's the word here. She was a foreign, living in a strange land. Ruth needed a home, a place of provision and protection, a place of permanent stability where she could feel secure. And her mother-in-law said, "My daughter, I should look for a place for rest for you." This is a most impressionable picture of our need for a spiritual husband, for a spiritual security. You never know this until you turn your Bible to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 11, page 688. Naomi said to Ruth, "Ruth, you are a foreigner, you're a stranger, but you need security. You need to seek for somebody who will secure, according to the Hebrew law, your place." If you are today here without God, you're a stranger from God. You're a foreigner to God. You have no clue of God, and you need security. And I'm not insulting you. I'm just going to read the scripture now to see that that is the case on every person around the world. Look at what Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 says. "Therefore remember that you," Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus, "once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." That is the place of every unbeliever. Like Ruth. "But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinance, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace." And look at verse 16. "And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. See, you need to seek that kind of person. You need to see the need that you are without God. Some people say, well, I believe in God. But don't say that. If you don't have the intercessor, you don't have the one who brought you to God, you have no God, even though you mentioned the word God. And look at what the Bible said. For through him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer a stranger and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. You may be an Argentinian, you may be a Russian, you may be a Chinese, you may be a Korean. Who knows what your nationality and your race is? But the key is this, if you have no Jesus Christ, you are without God and you are a stranger from God. And like Ruth was a stranger in Israel. Verse 20 said, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and whom the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, and whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Verse 1, you need to seek for God. That's the first step. The first step on salvation is, I need God. I'm going to find out where God is. These need to be your desire. Step number 2. Go back to Ruth chapter 3, verse 2 to 4. You need to know how to approach God. The Bible said that God is holy, and in his presence nothing unholy stands. Naomi taught Ruth how to approach God. And there are about 3-4 steps. Let me show you. Step number 1. Ruth need to wash and perfume herself. Verse 3. Wash thyself thereof and anoint thee. Anoint thee is put the oils with perfumes. You know, that the guy will be knocked down. That mama was good, eh? It was a good mama. Yeah, the Bible is so real, you know. Why do people make the Bible so strange? The Bible is so real. You know, it's a you girl, dress up all well, wash yourself, put on perfume that when you walk in, who is it? What is that? That's a picture of God's work in your life. Watch yourself. Put one hand there and turn your Bible to Psalm 51, verse 2, page 358. Page 358, Psalm 51, verse 2. What means to wash yourself? That means let God do the work on you. Look at what David says. Psalm 51, verse 2. Wash me truly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. See, David, you know, claimed, I'm going to get right with God. I'm going to do this donation. Or I'm going to do this. Or I'm going to do that. No, David said, God, there's only one way for me to get out of the trouble. Wash me. Step number 1. You need to ask God to wash your mind and your heart and everything. Step number 2, you need to change clothes. Look at verse 3. Wash thyself. Let's go back to Ruth chapter 3, verse 3, page 176. Wash thyself thereof and anoint thee and put thy raiment upon thee and get thee down to the floor. Put the new dress. Come on, Gail. Dress up. The people will see it. Come on, Gail. Let's put all of this. Get the best dress you have and go. A picture of putting on the righteousness of God. No more self-justification. No more self-made good in your life. No more self-made religion. You need that cover of God in your life. Turn your Bible to Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10, page 440. Isaiah chapter 61, in verse 10, page 440. Clothe yourselves, she said. If you are seeking for God, ask God to wash you. Ask God to clothe you. Look at what Isaiah says. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as the bridegroom decked himself with the ornament, as a bride adorned herself with her jewels. And that's what we need spiritually. That's what we need. We need a cover up of God. What do we use in our life? We use the fig leaf, like Adam, and try to cover our sins with our own justifications and lies and things. I'm a science person. I cannot believe we cover ourselves with the word science person. Other people will say to me, I'm an intellectual person. I cannot read the Bible. They cover themselves. Don't cover yourself with the dirt of this world. Cover yourself with the righteousness of God, like Grandma told Ruth. Number three, Ruth need to go where Boaz was and humble herself. She did all of this, asking, praying, putting all this together. But now Ruth need to go. And need to go, no any place, no any religion, need to go where Boaz was the man who was qualified to save. Need to go there. Look at verse 4. And it shall be when he lay down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. Do you see this? Lay down at the feet is a symbol. Look at verse 9. Same chapter, verse 9. And he said, who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, an handmaid. In Hebrew, that's a very humble position, a handmaid. Spread therefore thy scare over thy handmaid. The handmaid means I'm your servant. Naomi said, you go and wash yourself. You put the best of you, and you go over there and you humble yourself. And you humble yourself. Wow. And where do I need to go? You go to Boaz. He's qualified. Now if you say to me, well, okay, Pastor, I humble myself. Where do I go? Where do I find Christ? 2,000 years ago, he's dead. All right? I show you where Christ is. Turn your Bible to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7, page 708. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7, page 708. My Bible will say the book. Some of the Bible will say the word scroll, which is the same. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7, page 708. And look at making a quotation of the Old Testament. The writer of the book of Hebrews said these words. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. In the volume of the book, you got a Bible with 66 books. And that volume, every page of that volume is written about Christ. There you find it. Now turn your Bible now to Luke Gospel, chapter 24, verse 27, page 620. Luke Gospel, chapter 24, and verse 27, page 620. And there you hear from Jesus where you can find Jesus. The Bible says, and beginning at Moses, Jesus is speaking, and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. He opened the Hebrew Bible and he taught about the Messiah. You are in verse 27. Move your eyes on the same chapter, Luke chapter 24. Move your eyes to verse 44. Now he's talking to the disciples. And look at what he says. And he says unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophet and in the psalm concerning me. The disciples were sorry that Jesus died. And Jesus said, come on, guys. All of this was written in the scripture about me. Step number three, Ruth need to go where Boaz is. And if you want to really know God, you have to go where Jesus is. You go to the scripture. That's what I pass Bibles. Because when I pass the Bible, I pass the life of Jesus to people. And as you read it, the Bible said that the words of Jesus becomes alive. Turn your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6, page 715. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. And here is the counsel of God for us. Here is what God says. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at due time. Humble before God. You don't go to God and say, who are you? Where are you? I would need a proof that you're not ready. If you say, well, I need to prove, where is God? God doesn't exist. You're not ready, fellow. Don't waste your time. When you go to God, you humble yourself. You don't argue with God. You just humble yourself. Step number 4, Ruth need to uncover the feet of Boaz. Let's go back to Ruth in chapter 3. And in verse 4, we read, and it shall be when he lay down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and cover his feet. She need to uncover his feet. Do you know what that means? In Hebrew, means a picture. It's a tremendous picture of abandoning yourself at the mercy of the man. You uncover his feet, and you lay down on his feet, and you say, do what you want for my life. Let's go to chapter 4 of the book of Hebrews, which is in page 705, chapter 4, verse 14. When you come to God, you don't come eye to eye with God. You humble yourself at his feet. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, verse 16, come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. See, that's the way to approach God. But that Naomi was a great believer, and she knew how to do it. She knew how to approach God. So, number one, you need to see, if you are seeking for rescue in our spiritual life, if you are seeking what Martha talked about, it, that those people who were there in drugs and had no clue of life, suddenly life is sparkle in their life. If you are seeking for that, there is one need, and the need is you need to know that you have a need. Number two, you need to know how to approach that God. And number three, you need to follow instructions. You know, when I witness to people, they're trying to give me instructions rather than me giving them instructions. You need to follow instructions, verses 5 to 7 in the book of Ruth. Let me show it to you. Ruth agreed and carefully follow instructions. Look at verse 5. And she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. She understood what had been said. Naomi, all what you said is good. So, A, she understood what has been said. Verse 6, she followed instruction to the T. Look at this. And she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. You see that? She followed instruction to the T. Everything the mother said, she followed. You read the scripture and you follow the instruction of the scripture of the book of Joshua. It said, not to the left, not to the right, right on the scripture. See, verse 7, she doubted not what to do. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, I don't know if he was drunk or what, but he was merry, he went to lay down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay her down. You know, you see this guy who is a Rockefeller, who has power about everything, even on the life of the employees. And he goes and he lay down And she must be really shaking, don't we? What do I do now? Mama said I had to uncover his feet. She did. She had no doubt what to do. Then God tell us how the redeemed, how she was redeemed and rescued. See, obedience to God's word is essential for approaching God. I want to show you a verse that scared people. Matthew 7, verse 21, page 565. Matthew 7, verse 21, page 565. Look at what the Bible said. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. You got it? Only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Not everybody who sings in the choir, not everybody who preaches in the pulpit, not everybody who is in church will be in heaven. The reason is if you cannot follow instruction, you will not be in heaven. There is no carnal Christianity. There is no mixing of Christianity. Either you are or you are not, with all our imperfection though. I tell you, here is an instruction of God. John chapter 6, verse 40. Page 626. John 6, verse 40. Here's an instruction of God. And this is the will of him that sent me. This is the will of the Father that sent me. That everyone which sees the Son and believe on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up on the last day. That's an instruction of God. If you're reading the scripture and you see in Jesus, believe on him. That's the instruction. You don't believe in the church, you don't believe in the pastor, you don't believe in the deacons, you believe in Jesus. You are not a Catholic, you are not a Protestant, you read the Bible, and you become a Christian as you believe in Jesus. You need to follow instruction. Listen, this is why God gave us the Bible. You need to follow instruction. This book is not for argument, it's just to believe and follow. Number four. You must speak up. Let's go back to Ruth now. Ruth in chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. Remember the steps? You need to see the need for redemption yourself. You need to know how to approach God. You need to follow instruction. Now, you must speak up. Look at in verse 8 and 9. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. I imagine the reputation of this man was impeccable. And here's a woman there. And he said, who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thy handmaid, your servant. Spread therefore thy skirt over thy handmaid. And here's the reason. For thou art a near kinsman, and follow the law. You do this because I'm doing this according to law. Lying down at the threshing floor was not enough for Ruth. She need to speak up. Ruth requests for Boaz to marry her, and that is a picture of your request for God to accept you. It's not that you accept him, it's that he accepts you, my friend. Some people have the courage to say, I accept God, and who are you? Who are you? God need to accept you. And you need to go to God and say, God, is me, a sinner. Gabriel Otero, social security number, so and so and so. I always pray that way because there are many Gabriel Oteros around. So, you know, I don't want God to miss me. You need to go to God and speak. It's not only to, you know, some people know all the Bible, all the doctrines of the Bible. And they know all the theologies of the Bible. And they are theologians in the Roman Catholic Church. And they are theologians in the Protestant Church. And they are big and mighty and so on. But you know what is the key? Is know how much you know, how much you believe. And how much you, are you above God or below God? And you ask God, God is me. Turn your Bible to Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Page 667. Romans chapter 10. And verse 9, page 667. Paul said to the Roman people, and there were some Hebrew there, in Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now turn your eyes to verse 13, same chapter. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Doesn't matter if you are Chinese, or you are Mexican, or you are Italian, or Japanese, or whatever. Doesn't matter. Whosoever call upon the name of Jesus, he's your redeemer, he's the kinsman, and he will do the job. Wow. You need to speak up. People say, are you sure? Well, the people in the Old Testament need to speak up. Move your Bible to Isaiah 55 and verse 6, page 437. Isaiah 55 and verse 6. And look at the counsel of Isaiah. In Isaiah 55, verse 6, page 437. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. And look at the next word. Shema, call ye upon him while he's near. Call him. Not only you read the Bible, you only memorize the Bible, not only you study the Bible, you say, God, save me. That's what you have to do. Two more steps to go. Three, five. You will be accepted by a promise of God. You will be accepted by a promise of God. Let's go back to Ruth chapter 3 and see what happened. You will be accepted when you cry, but under a promise of God. In verse 10, he praises her for her humble spirit. And he said, I'm reading Ruth 3:10, Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter. For thou hast shown me kindness in the latter end, at the beginning, as much as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. You don't fool around and get any boy. You come to the boy that God brings to you. Young people, if you want to get married, follow the Lord and get a boy or a girl from the Lord and not from you. That will help you. Somebody told me, I was on radio, year 77. Gorgeous girl, 37 years old, and she said to me, Pastor, she was the secretary of the chief engineer administrator. We're just developing shortwave, and she said, Pastor, I have a problem. Oh, well, what is it? I thought it was a technical problem. She said, I'm 37 years old, and I'm single. I said, but I'm married. I cannot marry you. I said, well, what's the problem? He said, well, what am I going to do with my life? Where am I going to find a husband? I said, I don't have a book with, you know, the people, but you can pray. And 2 years later, she was married to a pilot. I said, you pray that you marry in the Lord, and you will be saved. That's very important. This man praised this woman for saying, you know, you don't fool around just looking at anybody. You want a man from the Lord. You want the king's man. The man that the law authorized her. But once you're a widow in Israel, you cannot marry like here in America. You're a widow, you marry anybody you want. No, no, no. You have to marry the brother of the person who died. And so you have to follow certain instructions. And even though she was a foreigner, and even though she did not belong to the land, now she's converted. But what Martha talks about, the guy said, with my hands I killed before, but now with my hands I do things. See, conversion changed you all over. And you want to obey the word of God. So verse 10, he praised her for obeying the word of God. Verse 11, Boaz gave assurance to Ruth of his acceptance. Verse 11, and now my daughter, fear not. Hey, when you come to God, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Boaz assures to Ruth of his acceptance. We have the promises of God of our acceptance. Verse 12, Boaz vowed to see that Ruth was married. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. How obeyed there is a kinsman near than I. In other words, he said, you're doing the right thing, but I'm not a qualified person at this moment, but there will be a moment in which we'll be qualified. And then Boaz instructed Ruth to guard against the appearance of evil. Verse 13, tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if He will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman well. Let him do the kinsman part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of the kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth, lay down until the morning. And she lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another, and she said, let it not be known that a woman came into my floor. You see, what happened here is this. He gave a promise. Now, we don't have to deal with that today because the law is gone. The law is gone. And so we don't have to wait, see if the law can save us. The law is a schoolmaster to show our sin, and Jesus our Redeemer. That's the difference between us and that particular element. As Boaz said, wait until tomorrow. I'm going to go to the city hall, and I'm going to get the other fellow, and I'm going to say, either you marry her or I marry her. In the meantime, you are no abandoned. Look at verse 15. And he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her, and she went into the city. He provided for her. See, the promises of God don't give us everything we expected, but they God provide for us. The promises of God make us wait upon him. We don't got everything we pray, but we got support. Now listen, you know Philippians 1 and verse 6 in the Bible, don't we? Page 691, Philippians 1 and verse 6 in the Bible, page 691, a beautiful text. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. When you are saved, you do not become perfect. When you are saved, you do not become new totally. But I tell you something. The one who saved you will keep on performing his work until you are completely saved from this wrecked body of ours full of sin. Number 6, you must tell others what you have. Once you are saved, once you know the Lord, you want to tell others. Look at verse 16. Let's go back to Ruth chapter 3 and verse 16. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, these 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, go no empty unto thy mother-in-law. I want to tell you this. When you are in Christ, you are no empty. You maybe have trials. You maybe have storms of problems. But you are no empty. You got Christ into your life. You got hope. And hope is not empty. It's not hanging like the human hopes. Well, let me see what happened. No! Hope on the word of God is the security. How wonderful. A picture of the believer's security. Finally, verse 18. You must wait for the return of the Redeemer. Verse 18 said, then said she, sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he has finished the work this day. You remember the words of Jesus on the cross? Just before he died, did he say, oh, I'm hurt. Oh, I'm suffering. It's a beautiful word, don't we? It is finished. What Naomi said? Said the man will not rest until he finished the work. And Jesus was on earth and he did not rest until he went to the cross and finished the work. Why do you want to go to somebody who's unfinished? Why do you want to trust somebody who have no merit before God? He finished the work. So, let me tell you. Are you seeking the Redeemer of your soul? Yes or not? Most of us here know the Lord Jesus and know God through the Lord Jesus. And we call ourselves saved. We don't call ourselves Baptists or Catholics or Protestants. We call ourselves Christians. Not great? We know God through the Lord Jesus. He's the Redeemer of my soul. Is he the Redeemer of your soul? You say, Pastor, that's a long story of the Old Testament. What should I do today? There is an answer for that. It's in the book of James, chapter 4, verse 8, page 712. In the book of James, chapter 4, verse 8. If I had to put the whole chapter 3 of Ruth in one verse, I will put it in this verse. James chapter 4 and verse 8, page 712. Draw near unto God, and He will draw near unto you. Cleanse your hand, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. Here's the key. Draw near unto God, and He will draw near unto you. Now remember the steps. You don't go with pride. You don't go with your own program. You don't go with your own schedule. You don't go to God with everything you want to do. You just go to God. You just go to God with everything you got. Nothing. And you say to God, God, I'm here. I'm here. Save me. Like David said, remember? 51:2, wash me. But most of the people who have not been touched by God, they want to argue. I have no time for argument. I have all the time of my life to show you a scripture until you find a way. I will show you a scripture. So overwhelming scriptures, one upon the other, one upon the other. And I will never tell you what to believe. I will let God to tell you. Are you seeking? If you are seeking in this church, you will find it. Because we got the Bible. And any church that had the Bible, you will find it. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Thank you, Father, for Ruth and for Naomi. That they followed the scripture step by step. And no wonder chapter 4 ends with the glory of God upon Ruth's life. But people sometimes see the glory and people sometimes see the victory, but they don't see the suffering that we have before the victory. Ruth had to humble herself, a Moabitess. The archenemy of Israel humbled before Israel. And Lord, we are enemies of God and we need to humble ourselves and say, God, save us through the Lord Jesus, our Lord. Lord, give us a heart like that. You said that you will change our stony heart for a fleshly heart. I pray, Lord, for those who believe not, that they may come to believe that salvation is only found in the Redeemer of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Savior, my King, His praise all the day long with rapture I sing. To Him in my weakness for strength I can cling. For He is so precious to me. To know, for He precious to me. I praise Him because He appointed a place where someday through faith in His wonderful grace I know I shall see Him, shall look on His face. For He is so precious.
The Lord. I hope that He's precious to you too. Will you stand, please, as we close in prayer? I remind you there, immediately after the closing will be the business meeting of our church. Father, the Son said, He is so close to me. My prayer is that Jesus be close to all of us and that we may humble ourselves, throw away everything we know, and just blind trust this Jesus who went into heaven to intercede for us. Lord, cause us to believe, and we will believe. In Jesus we pray. Amen.